Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. It's not even an applause light. These people are on it. You guys know what to do. That song, I can't wait until that bores into the center of every brain of every person that has to listen to it. And it was written by Hard and Firm. Let's give them a round of applause. They're not here. They probably won't listen to this. But I'd still like to give them their props because they wrote a free song for me. And they did a fantastic job. And welcome to I Love Movies, Doug Benson's I Love Movies. I like to start off by saying we're at the UCB Theater live in front of an audience that is 7 to 8 strong. And they're super nice people. They're all promising to laugh for two, even the ones that aren't pregnant. And I am stoned. So I love talking about movies, and you're going to enjoy talking about movies with my guest today once I start doing it. But first, here's a little joke for me. I was supposed to do something monologue-y at this part of the show. I went on a date with a girl recently, and pretty smooth setup, isn't it? And she says to me, you'll see how it ties into my show immediately, in fact, in the next few words. She says to me, I don't like movies. I never go to movies. Movies are stupid. And in my head, I'm like, you're stupid. But instead of saying that, I thought to myself, now I can say lines from classic movies to her in conversation, and she'll think I'm a genius. So we're sitting there at dinner, and I'm like, you make me want to be a better man. And she goes, when did you first know you liked me? I'm like, you had me at hello. But here's where I messed up. I shouldn't have quoted a line from the movie Babe, because at the end of the meal, I was like, that'll do, pig. That'll do. My guest today on I Love Movies. Should I have said I think we'll need a bigger boat? My guest today on I Love Movies is someone you know from his work on Mr. Show, his Comedy Central specials. He just made the second one. And you should also know him from his self-titled live show that occurs on the final Monday of every month at Largo here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Paul F. Tompkins, everyone. You're excited?
I'm excited. That's about fun. Loving movies with you. It's like me, you, and movies are having a three-way.
Oh, Lord.
The Lord can't help you now, Doug.
It's too late. I've entered into this unholy trinity. You, me, and a movie, getting it on. Horrible. You know what? Can I Is it too late to pick the movie?
No.
Can we fuck Little Miss Sunshine? Because that was the first thing I was going to ask you about, because I know you see a lot of movies.
I see all movies.
And you had to get caught up in the draft of positivity that surrounded Little Miss Sunshine.
I missed it because I was out and about. I was on the road when that movie came out, so everybody had seen it. It was like I went away to camp, and then I came back, and everybody saw the cool movie.
If they're all talking it up, you must have been, well, I got to see this. Everybody seems to love it.
Yeah, it didn't get me out to the theater yet, though.
It didn't get you.
I find that
it's 100% love, isn't it?
But it is. Well, more and more I find myself saying, even a movie that I intend to see, like, I'm going to see that eventually, and then I just don't. Like, I end up missing a lot more movies.
They're going to show this one on planes for sure.
Oh, I can't wait.
Definitely.
Because I fly a lot.
See, I saw Snakes on a Plane because that's not going to be on a plane. I saw World Trade Center. That's not going to be on a plane. But if you can tell it's going to be on a plane, wait for it to be on the plane.
Right.
50 First Dates, that was a good one to wait for.
I bet they're also
on a lot of planes.
They're probably not going to show World Trade Center in any buildings either.
Big movie theaters or buildings.
And then you'd be like, I'm in a building.
Let's get out of here. This is a building.
I never felt more self-conscious about being in a building than I do right now.
I yelled during United 93, I yelled, this movie theater's going to crash.
First Amendment guarantees you that right.
Yes.
They tried to throw me out on the grounds of other amendments, but I clung to the first.
So what have you seen lately?
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. What have I seen? I saw The Illusionist.
Yeah?
Very romantical and mystical.
When you bought your ticket, did you pronounce it that way?
Yeah.
I have so much fun with buying movie theater tickets.
Oh, it's the best.
Because mangling a title, because they'll usually figure it out.
Right.
Process elimination.
Right.
Won't correct you out loud.
Right.
Won't crack a smile.
Right.
Won't look at you like you're a dick. You just go...
Yeah.
I like one for the devil skirt. And they click out Devil Loves Prada or Devil in Prada, whatever it's fucking
here's
called.
What I like to do is I like to just shorten them arbitrarily, but in a weird place. So I would say, two for Where's Prada? So they know what I'm talking about. It would make more sense if I just said Prada, but Where's Prada?
And it sounds like Where's W-H-E-R-E.
Right.
Apostrophe S.
Exactly.
Did I spell that right?
You did. Oh.
Where's Prada? It's three blocks down, like the store nearby.
Right. You put it into practice.
What's another one? Try shortening Jaws.
Oh.
Have fun with it.
I would lengthen that title.
Jaws.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant.
I'd like one for Jaws. Don't interrupt me, young lady. Like she starts to sell you the ticket because she gets where Jaw is going.
Right. And you're Ed Wynn for some reason.
Why? Was that Ed Wynn?
Kind of.
Oh, yeah. I love to laugh. So.
I feel like I just went to the movie. Oh, I saw Idiocracy.
Idiocracy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Applause break for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you liked it?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
What were they doing releasing it on Labor Day weekend?
Well, you mean on those three screens?
On those three screens.
It's going to get killed on those three screens Labor Day weekend.
Well, I mean, isn't it dead in the water? Or do you think it's going to build and grow?
No, it's not.
It's over.
It's going to, it will have a life on DVD, but not in the theaters at all.
Yeah, it might become like a cult classic just like his last one.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Absolutely will.
Yeah.
But the theory was that I had heard was that because there were so many actual corporations named in the movie and seen in the movie, that was why the studio kind of killed it, was that they were afraid of getting sued by Starbucks or Carl's Jr. But after seeing it, I think it's because...
Yeah, I'd appreciate if you'd stop mentioning names of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...our potential sponsors.
I'm sorry.
But keep going. Just self-bleep if you get to another
one. Sure. But I think it's what their real fear was that because they have such contempt for the movie-going audience that they were afraid that people would see the movie and say, hey, they're making fun of me! I'm stupid. They're mocking me up there on that screen. I'm never going to the movies again.
I'd ask for my money back if I remembered where I gave it to them. See, I'm twisting if they're even dumber.
They're dumber than I thought they were. And then the people in the
movie. People that are dumber than people in Idiocracy are not going to see Idiocracy, and that's why it's a failure.
No. They think that movie is some sort of a government exam. Because it's a big word.
They don't
I don't want to go to Idiocracy. Then you have to take jury duty.
They don't notice the word idiot is in there.
Exactly.
I don't want to take jury duty.
Let's not take jury
duty. I'm supposed to in a few weeks. I'm not happy about it.
Here, Doug, here's a fun thing I do at the movies.
Okay. I love it.
Me and my friend
Freestyle
Ben,
it.
Me and my friend Ben do this. Now, in Los Angeles.
I'm trying to run a tight show.
Yeah,
just run in with it.
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Stick to your strict questions.
My very strict questions. I had a hard-hitting one about Zoom starring Tim Allen. No, go ahead. Tell us what you do when you go into the movie theater.
At the end of the movie, you know, in Los Angeles, a lot of times people in the audience will know people who worked on the film. So when their name comes up in the credits, their friends in the audience will applaud for mm-hmm. them. And so what me and my friend Ben decided to do was just pick, like, a random credit and boo. So it's like a standalone credit, like the hair department or whatever. And as soon as the first name comes up, boo!
Boo!
It's hard to do because the anticipation of it took us so many tries the first time we did it. Because the anticipation
everyone's dying
was,
to do it.
It's so delightful, and we started laughing. We couldn't do it. It took us like four movies.
It must be especially fun when there's some, you know, I used to be one of those people who's like, I'm going to watch all the credits because I can learn this and I can learn that and I can imagine the magic of the movie lasting for three more minutes. A lot of bullshit excuses. But basically it was just, you know, I was a nerd and had nothing better to do than watch the 10-minute credit sequence.
Otherwise you had to go
Revenge
take
of
your
the
violin
Jedi.
Lessons.
Accordion, actually. So I think it would be particularly satisfying when there's a lot of people still watching the credits.
Yeah.
When you let that happen.
Yeah.
Because I would think sometimes if you wait the proper amount of time, you'd just be doing it in an empty theater. Because a lot of people do get up and leave.
At that point, I think we wouldn't do it.
Oh, really? You have systems in place to abort the mission?
Oh, we have fail-safes.
If you notice there's nobody there to hear it,
yeah.
You all shut it down?
We have code words, fail-safes.
That's good. That's good.
Here's another one. I heard you talking earlier on the last episode about walking out of movies,
mm-hmm.
and I had a tradition for a while there where I would see the worst movie that opened on Christmas Day.
Right.
And one year it was The Postman, which was so, so bad. And
the year I went, it was Patch Adams.
Yeah, I saw that one too on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
we might have seen that together.
That's what I'm saying. It was your nefarious plot that got me to watch Patch Adams on Christmas.
See? I'm like a Svengali. So, Postman was so bad that a guy left the movie. He walked out, and there were only eight people in there. And this was... The movie had been going on for a while, and the guy just couldn't take it anymore. Like, even he sat there, obviously, after he already knew it was bad. And he was like, what do I do now? And then he finally, after a half hour's debate with himself, I'm going to get out of here. But I like that he walked slowly and deliberately to the exit that was by the screen. Like,
yeah,
go back out the way he came in. He wanted everybody to know. Like, the hell with this postman.
Leaving the postman.
Where you going, mister?
Check my mail.
It's Christmas, mister.
I don't fucking care.
What? The one as big as me? And then you gotta buy a fucking goose. Then ghosts come.
Oh, shit.
Let's talk about Zoom.
You lost me about
Tim Allen.
Tim Meadows.
I wish Tim Meadows
was in Zoom. It's what if that sex guy was in space? Tim Meadow, the ladies man, that's it.
That's
shit.
That's sex guy.
That's sex guy.
McKinsey?
I was there when they were trying to decide between that sex guy and ladies man.
Right.
And I was yelling, I was screaming till I was blue in the face for that sex guy. And they went with ladies man.
You were out.
I was totally right.
Yeah.
I was right.
History will prove you correct.
What about the last king of Scotland? Have you heard about that?
I just saw
no, my God, Doug, I just saw the trailer for it.
With Forrest Whitaker as Idi Amin.
I know.
Is that perfect?
It's perfect. It's the role he was born eventually to play.
Is Yaphet Kotto still alive?
No.
Oh, he's dead?
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking of how he died in Live and Let Die. That's why I'm assuming
right.
he's
and
no
he
longer
died
with
in Alien as well.
He blew up like a balloon.
And he died in Homicide: Life on the Street.
Did he die?
Every week. It was just like Kenny on South Park. So...
It undercuts the credibility.
Anyway, Yaphet Kotto would have been good, but Forrest Whitaker, holy crap,
yeah,
as Idi Amin.
And I didn't know Idi Amin had a fucked up eyeball.
He does. Idi Amin had a total squirrely eye that was like part of his rise to power. Was people can't say no to the squirrely eye.
Was Idi Amin's squirrely eye a good 3 inches away from his face, like the one in this movie?
Yeah.
And then, was he holding it in place with his actual good eye? Like a Halloween costume.
All right, we have to move on. That was good, though. That was really good.
You say so.
You got a face laugh. I have to move on.
I'm great. I'm really good at mugging. A lot of mugs.
I heard your podcast, and your facial work was hilarious. So what about classic motion pictures? Some of your faves.
Lava.
What are your favorites?
Well, you know, I hate any movie in color. I will not watch them.
Well, no wonder you won't go see Little Miss Sunshine. You know it's in color,
and
right?
And it's going to be super colorful, from what I understand.
Like, I heard it was...
I can't think of their fucking name.
Oh, what's
who's
band?
The stoner now?
Who's the band who wears all the robes? The fucking...
Aerosmith?
Yes!
Aerosmith. Exactly. Polyphonic Spree.
Oh, okay, my next guest was Wu-Tang Clan. Okay, Polyphonic Spree. Polyphonic Spree wears robes.
Forget it. We're past it.
Who's a bastard?
Oh my God. Are you putting the weed in your ears?
No, I'm quoting my favorite part, my favorite thing that ever happened in any Billy Crystal anything, of which there's only two or three
right.
to my choose. Giant. My Giant and the part in Throw Mama from the Train where she calls him a black bastard. Yeah. And he goes, what?
Yeah.
Get out of my way, you black bastard.
Genuinely funny. Genuinely funny.
Really funny. And in that same movie, I think he said he had a headache in his eye. Uh-huh. At some point, that made me laugh. But that's about it. That's about it for Billy Crystal.
Lifetime.
Nice try. No, he did a lot of good stuff.
Wait, what were we just fucking talking about?
It was okay. Classic movies, and you were trying to think of Polyphonic Spree for some reason.
Yeah, because colorful movies, and I heard that Little Miss Sunshine was financed by Polyphonic Spree. Okay. See, we're past it. And then Black Bastard. That song by the Doobie Brothers.
Old black bastard, yeah. Keep on rolling.
And then reruns, tape recorder falls out. I can reference with the best of them.
You can't pop and lock like him, though.
I'm not all original material.
That guy knew how to pop, lock, and drop a tape recorder.
It's true. He's no longer with us. Fred Berry.
Right, another great Idi Amin.
May I speak?
He would have been an amazing Idi Amin.
Oh, the dancing Amin. If only... I wish he could have been on Inside the Actor's Studio so that James Lipton could have said, may I speak with Rerun?
Please summon Rerun.
I love the movie Jaws, which you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Love it.
I already had it written down on your page. I already knew that about you.
I love it. Here's how much I love it.
It's
I wanna
watchable.
Buy a copy of it, like a film, right? Film yeah. cans, unspool right. them, and then roll around it and stick my dick in it. How much I love the movie Jaws.
And what about when they show it on network TV mm-hmm. or any TV at this point, and they add in a bunch of shots that weren't in the original,
like shots of barrels?
Yeah, and like
there's,
you know,
way more shots of barrels.
Quint has like a shark drawn on the side of his truck or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Shit like that. Where they throw in little extra 10-second beats or whatever.
Right.
Does it ruin it for you, or do you just notice
no,
and go,
it
that was never there before, and then move
I've
on?
I've seen it in a lot of incarnations, and I can always watch it. It's one of those movies that if it's on TV, I can, no matter where I jump into it, I will most likely watch it to its conclusion. Even if I'm not, like, directly watching it, if it's just, I will have it on until it's stopped. I love it. Here's what I love, my favorite part.
What about,
part,
okay.
My favorite part.
Yeah?
Is when Hooper, played by...
what's his name?
Richard Dreyfuss.
He gets there on the island of Amity, and they catch the shark that they think is the shark, but
right.
It's the shark.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to talk about.
So it's all strung up there.
Yeah.
And then somebody says...
Wonderful word pictures you're drawing. Yeah,
exactly. What kind of shark is that anyway? And Richard Dreyfuss goes, it's a tiger shark. And then this big burly guy turns to him and goes, a what?
He totally sounds like a lady, and it's so funny.
It took me forever to realize that was on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, forever to realize that was on purpose. Because when I was younger, I just thought, how funny that big guy sounds that way. And then it took me years to realize, oh, he's calling him a fucking fag. A what?
That is really funny. There's a lot of super hilarious things in that movie. That's part of the greatness of it, is that it's, you know, can scare you, shock you. I mean, maybe not so much.
Ben Gardner's head?
Come on. Ben Gardner's head. But then also Ben Gardner, like in the extended version, there's a shot of him talking to himself. Where
oh, no, that's in every version.
That's in every version.
Well, yeah,
you can't tell what the fuck he's saying.
Where we get those sons of bitches out of the water with our burgers, boy? What's our mother down with our burgers? That guy's the best.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Look him up on IMDb. Where did he go?
There should be a special edition where you can just click a button and see what the fuck he's saying. Get subtitles for that. But then, in the special version, they dubbed it, or I've seen some version where that scene played out differently.
Well, because he does curse it, and he says sons of bitches.
I think.
So they might clean that up for TV a little bit.
Right, and so they may have just gotten an impersonator of that mumbly weirdo who didn't even try to sound like him because they didn't think anybody knows mumbly weirdo
and what
he sounds like.
Guess what they do.
Next time you see that version, it really freaks me out because it's just kind of like, yeah, there's a lot of shit. You know, it's even got a New England accent. You know, it's like, yeah, we don't see a lot of sharks out here today. It's this big burly guy
Jay
that
Leno?
In the originals are.
Jay Leno was out there?
A little bit. It was a little, Jay Leno did it as a favor to Spielberg. Spielberg won a bet.
As a favor. Jay, would you please do this favor for me? And appear in the movie Jaws. Overdub it.
Spielberg said, I bet you will retire or be forced to. It's your move. And then Jay Leno announced his retirement. Spielberg won the bet.
What?
I don't know what I'm saying. What does that have to do with movies?
I felt so dumb. I thought that was a reference to something, but it's not.
No, it's a reference to idiocy.
Your brain is broken.
It was a reference to Idiocracy. Was that in that movie? Let's talk about some of the movies you've done.
Sure. Let's talk about all of them. I'm sure we have time.
Well, I'll race through them if you like.
Sure.
Jack Frost.
A ball.
Did you think of yourself while playing Man in Audience that it could be a perennial classic at Christmas time for the kids?
Well, yeah, I was thinking...
You did it for your children?
I did it for my children and all of our children, really.
Future children.
Unborn children. Mostly for unborn children. And, like, fetuses. I did expect to be treated like Father Christmas himself in years to come. But it didn't happen because the movie was creepy as fuck. Because nobody wanted to see the dead kids... The kid's dead father become an anthropomorphic snowman with terribly articulated
fetuses
eyebrows.
Fetuses had to sit through the whole thing because fetuses can't walk out.
Exactly.
Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny, that's coming out soon.
It's coming out in November.
Yeah, and somebody went, oh? So you're
somebody
in it.
Thought that was adorable.
You're in it. Idea. You're like the MC in the...
I reprise my role of the open
from
microphone
the series.
Host. Yes, with the short-lived television series.
What's your favorite swear word?
Zunes.
Oh, I love it when people come on and make up a swear word. Such ingenuity.
It's short for God's wounds.
You played an MC in Anchorman.
I did.
Wait for it. The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Go ahead.
I play the cat fashion show MC.
Oh, the MC thing.
Yep.
What's with this typecasting shit?
I look good with a microphone in front of my face. Announcing things.
You do, actually. It makes me want to have a three-way with you in a movie. And of course, my favorite Paul F. Tompkins movie role, because I'm such a big Paul Thomas Anderson nut, is Chad... From Seduce and Destroy in Magnolia.
Yes, yes, yes.
A role that you managed to essay, to bring across, to give to an audience without ever appearing on camera. Tell us more.
Exactly. Wow, that was a beautiful poetic setup. Also, somewhat inaccurate.
Oh, you're also just a fucking voice in it.
Yeah.
It's the other way I meant to say it.
I was originally...
on camera?
On camera.
Chad was an on-camera
Chad
character?
Chad was an on-camera character. And then I didn't have any problem with being cut out. It made sense to me, artistically. The way I found out was I was going to perform at Largo. I was doing a show, stand-up comedies. And Paul Thomas Anderson came down to the show. And just before it started, I was standing by the stage door getting ready to go on stage, he said, "I got to tell you, I cut you out of the movie, but I'll make it up to you. And I can't stay, but have a good show." But he did make it up to me, and he put me in, he gave me an...
You're currently working
part.
In his new movie.
I did a couple days on There Will Be Blood, which comes out next year.
There Will Be Blood.
I worked with Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis, the actor.
Yeah.
I had totally scenes with him.
Now, I heard a rumor that he's always going to wear the top hat and everything from now on.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad you were able to clear that up.
He's doing roles exclusively that involve top hats. So, Snidely Whiplash is his next upcoming thing. Monopoly, the movie.
I tried to do another one, but it has to stop there. That one's the last one. You could have let me get in a lame one and then threw in that great one.
And then he's doing a movie where it's the snobs versus the dinosaurs.
Yeah. See what I'm trying to say? That Monopoly was the end of the line.
I might have had more, but forget it.
No, try it.
All right, so like the typical scene is, who invited you?
Was that more than one character?
That was two people. It was an exchange.
Two?
It was an exchange.
That was the guy in the top hat?
I forgot to turn. Yes, that was the guy in the top hat.
And the dinosaur?
I was actually more of a matron, a wealthy matron.
All right. Really quickly about Magnolia, yes. Who's the bigger a-hole, Tom Cruise or Philip Seymour Hoffman? You don't have to answer that.
Tom Cruise, a lot of eye contact.
Uncomfortable eye contact.
Super eye contact. He's a regular guy. He's just trying to let you know. He's a regular guy.
Yeah.
He's a regular guy. We're all having fun.
It's creepy.
We're all having fun making movies.
I like doing it with somebody.
Yeah. Just big smile, a lot of eye contact.
Stop it.
Hey, what's going on?
Stop it, Tom Cruise.
I don't blink anymore.
Quit it, Tom Cruise. I'm not going to join.
I never blink. Psychiatry equals death. What does the razor say?
Two mommies that are sad about making babies.
Are we gonna play that?
That'd be great if Tom Cruise's autobiography was dedicated to mommies who are sad about having babies.
Oh, I thought you meant two, like the number two. Like there were two mommies who were sad about having babies.
He knew of two cases, and that's when he went on the Today Show and said, "You're being glib."
So it's both.
There are two people that this medication does not work for.
Right.
So it must be bad.
I like that psychiatry is still a death profession. Like, yeah, they're still drilling holes in people's skulls. They're not doing that anymore at all.
Are you feeling confident?
I feel really confident.
Okay.
Oh, about the game?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because you could go first. You could ask me one if you want.
No, I'd like to try it.
I just grabbed it because I thought it would go quicker.
Ask me.
It turns out it's me doing the thinking.
I'm not scared.
You're not scared at all?
I'm a little scared. If I'm honest, I'm a little scared.
All right.
But mostly brave.
All right. And I also, in the last episode I fucked up, we're supposed to say the year first, just to give you a little bit more of an idea.
Well, but you only have a benefit
of apology. I didn't need it. As it turns out, I was still good at it.
You were good at it. That was impressive.
Thank you. 1977.
Time after time.
It's fun to just try it sometimes. If you're right, it's awesome. I got the fog once in one name and people shit themselves.
What name was it?
That guy that plays small parts in every John Carpenter movie.
Oh, there you go.
As soon as I heard his name, I was like, the fog? Okay, 1977.
Was it Rob Bottin?
That's not even a movie name. Oh, Rob Bottin?
Sorry.
The makeup artist. I know, I did get really fancy with it.
I've been to the continent.
All right, I'm changing movies. After staring at it for all that time, it just got depressing how you weren't going to get it.
Wow.
All right, okay, here's one.
Okay.
1995. Tom Bauer, Smokey Hormel.
Oh shit.
It's a stage name, I think.
But I
you think you have an idea?
I remember seeing it in credits, the name Smokey Hormel.
Smokey Hormel?
Give me one more.
All right. I'll give you a lot more. Jason Carter, Jimmy Witherspoon, not to be confused with John Witherspoon, or Spoons, as we call him, John C. Reilly,
1995.
John Doe. Yet another in a series of aliases used in this film. Max Perlick.
Oh, that asshole.
Ted Levine.
Jesus.
I know.
It's not...
The next two names should give it away.
All right, give me one.
The first one less so than the next one. Mayor Winningham.
Georgia?
That's it! That's it!
That's you really unsatisfying.
That's a fucking hard one.
I never saw it.
Oh, you never saw it?
No.
That's good. That's good that you got it.
I heard it's good!
She got nominated for... Jennifer Jason Leigh got nominated, but Mayor didn't.
Something Mayor got shut out.
She got fucking snubbed. Speaking of snubbing, Paul F. Tompkins, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes his time with us here today. Cut off his mic in the booth, please. Thanks for being here. Yeah. Your mic's cut off. Don't bother. Don't bother trying to respond. Until next time, this is Doug Benson saying, no, that's not a juju bee on my ass, but thanks for asking.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug...